Good morning, everybody. We are going to be continuing in Isaiah chapter 10. And today I will be looking at verses 5 to 34. And I shall read that for us. Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger. The staff in their hands is my fury. Against the godless nation I send him, and against the people of my wrath I command him, to take spoil and seize plunder, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. But he does not so intend, and his heart does not so think, but it is in his heart to destroy, and to cut off nations, not a few. For he says, Are not my commanders all kings? Is not Calno like Carchemish? Is not Hamath like Arpad? Is not Samaria like Damascus? As my hand has reached to the kingdoms of the idols, whose carved images were greater than those of Jerusalem and Samaria, shall I not do to Jerusalem and her idols as I have done to Samaria and her images? When the Lord has finished all his work on Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, he will punish the speech of the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria and the boastful look in his eyes. For he says, By the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I have understanding. I remove the boundaries of peoples and plunder their treasures. Like a bull, I bring down those who sit on thrones. My hand has found like a nest the wealth of the peoples. And as one gathers eggs that have been forsaken, so I have gathered all the earth. And there was none that moved a wing or opened the mouth or chirped. Shall the axe boast over him who hoes with it? Or the saw magnify itself against him who wields it. As if a rod should wield him who lifts it, or as if a staff should lift him who is not wood. Therefore the Lord God of hosts will send wasting sickness among his stout warriors, and under his glory a burning will be kindled, like the burning of fire. The light of Israel will become a fire, and his Holy One a flame, and it will burn and devour his thorns and briars one day. The glory of his forest and of his fruitful land the Lord will destroy both soul and body, and it will be as when a sick man wastes away. The remnant of the trees of his forest will be so few that a child can write them down. In that day the remnant of Israel and the survivors of the house of Jacob will no more lean on him who struck them, but will lean on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. A remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. For though your people Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them will return. Destruction is decreed, overflowing with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts will make a full end as decreed in the midst of all the earth. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, O my people who dwell in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrians when they strike with the rod and lift up their staff against you as the Egyptians did. For in a very little while my fury will come to an end, and my anger will be directed to their destruction. And the Lord of hosts will wield against them a whip, as when he struck Midian at the rock of Oreb, and his staff will be over the sea, and he will lift it as he did in Egypt. And in that day his burden will depart from your shoulder, and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be broken because of the fat. He has come to Ayath, he has passed through Migron, and Michmash he stores his baggage. They have crossed over the pass. At Geba they lodge for the night. Ramah trembles. Gibeah of Saul has fled. Cry aloud, O daughter of Galim. Give attention, O Lisha. O poor Anathoth. Madmanah is in flight. The inhabitants of Gebim flee for safety. This very day he will halt at Nob. He will shake his fist at the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. Behold, the Lord God of hosts will lop the boughs with terrifying power. The great in height will be honed down, and the lofty will be brought low. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with an axe, and Lebanon will fall by the majestic one. All right, so in today's passage, long passage, we see Isaiah detail this future calamity, in which the nation of Assyria will come up against Israel and bring great destruction. And actually, we know that this does happen later on, as the Assyrians would eventually conquer the northern kingdoms of Israel and send them into exile. It would be one of the most tragic events in Israel's history, But the interesting part is how boldly Isaiah proclaims to Israel that God is essentially going to stand by and let it happen. In no uncertain words, Isaiah reveals to them God's heart and that he will allow the Assyrians to plunder and destroy and conquer the Israelites. And it begs the question, why? If God was supposed to be Israel's protector and champion and source of victory, then why would he let them fall like this? Can a God who ignores his people truly be good? Can truly be steadfast and faithful and gracious? As many of you who've been following along on our journey through Isaiah know, at this point, Israel has been repeatedly showing that they are not going to choose God. Isaiah points out again and again that Israel has been extremely disobedient to the Lord, to the point that they've rejected him and gone to other gods. They've become an idolatrous and unrepentant people, and despite God's constant pouring out of grace, giving them chance after chance, they failed to turn back. Perhaps the Israelites even went as far as to mistake God's grace for inaction, and they lulled themselves into a false sense of security, thinking, nothing's going to happen to us. We can do whatever we want. But that, of course, is not true. When it comes to sin, there are always going to be consequences. And whether immediate or down the line, unrepentant sin will always breed ruin. What we see here in Isaiah's prophecy is the eventual consequence of Israel's actions. After all, when a nation rejects its proven sole source of protection and victory, as God has been for them all through the Exodus and the entrance into the Promised Land, and for generations and generations through the judges and the kings, if they forsake that, then what protection and victory could they possibly have? But of course, we know that this looming tragedy is not Israel's end. In fact, Isaiah even tells Israel that God's fury and anger against their disobedience will come to an end. And in only a little while, he will punish the Assyrians, and he'll protect Israel once more. And so this isn't abandonment by God, but rather a demonstration of discipline to Israel. And the Lord allowed Israel to face the consequences of their decisions and their actions so that they may be disciplined, that they may learn to return to him. I remember when I was a kid, I was honestly a little bit of a kleptomaniac. I've said before that my family was quite poor growing up, so I didn't really get to have a lot of the toys and the cool things that my friends had. And unfortunately, my desire to have these things got the better of me, and I started to steal. It was small things at first, like candy from a store so that I could have some with my friends, but I got more and more bold over time. And one time, my friend was showing off to our group his brand new Game Boy, and I wanted that Game Boy. So when he wasn't looking, I stole it from him. Now, I clearly wasn't a very bright kid. After all, I didn't see how suspicious the situation would be when my friend's Game Boy went missing and suddenly I randomly got one in the same color. But at that point, I had never been caught and I never had to face any consequences for my actions. Now, when my dad eventually saw that I had a Game Boy that he was very much sure he didn't buy for me, he put two and two together and he was furious. But he didn't punish me or ground me or anything like that. Instead, once he saw that I had stolen this Game Boy, he made me tell him who I took it from. And then he walked me over to their house and made me knock on the door and tell my friend and his parents what I had done. My dad disciplined me by bringing me to see the consequences of my own actions, the hurt and the anger that I had caused my friend and the disappointment from his parents. And believe me, that was a more effective punishment than anything my dad could have done. And that was the last time I ever stole anything from someone. Now for us, the wrong conclusion to draw from today's passage is that any bad thing that happens to us is just discipline from God. You know, sometimes tragedy and tough times happen. That's just the world that we live in. But I think we gain much when we realize our tendency to chase after things with bad endings. And likewise, when we understand that God isn't always this safety net, but that he'll often let us reap what we sow. He'll often let us face the consequences of our actions. Yes, through the work of Jesus, we're promised that he will never abandon or forsake us, but a continued obedience to him is still necessary if we want to steer clear of the worldly consequences of sin. So know that our God is a loving God, and that he loves us so much that he's willing to discipline us so that we can learn dependence on him. And know that we can be comforted and trusting that he will always be there, even in the tough times, even when we're facing the consequences for our actions. He'll be watching us and protecting us, ready to bring us out and back into his presence. Let's pray. Lord, would you help us to submit to you, to humble ourselves before you, and to allow you to shine a light in our lives? Lord, we're so prone to just kind of giving ourselves a lot of slack in not aggressively fighting against sin and striving to make every part of our lives oriented to you. And Lord, sometimes that causes some consequences. It causes moments of discipline, or you try to show us that any way that's not toward you is not the way. Lord, would your spirit continue to work in our hearts? And would you help us to run to you, to help us to take every part of our heart, every desire that we have, and make it yours? Lord, we know that you are better. We know that you are the source of every good thing. So, Lord, would you help us to choose you today? Amen.